My beloved, today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Misra. And as we heard, the passage that was chosen today by the church and its wisdom is the passage of the parable of the wicked vine dressers. And the theme of this, month and the church's calendar is the Lord's care for the church, His care for the church. And in this passage, the Lord, or of course the owner of the vineyard, is of course God, and the Son, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the vineyard is the world, and He sends His stewards to go into the world expecting them to bear fruit and give back to Him. And it's God's expectation of His people that after experiencing His grace and the blessing of His kingdom, that they have enjoyed, to share this with others. That's why He says that they might give Him some of the fruit of the vineyard. He wanted them to give Him some fruit back. But what did the wicked vine dressers do? They beat some, they treated them shamefully, they wounded them, and they sent them away empty. Then the master says, or the owner says to himself something amazing. He says, then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him." So they actually disrespected the ones who were sent to him, or sent to them, by treating them poorly and shamefully. So I'd like to speak this morning a little bit about or reflect on our relationship with God and how sometimes we may disrespect God in our relationship with Him. And I'll mention just a few points here, but it may be enough to get our minds turning to think about maybe other ways in which perhaps I disrespect God. Number one is we disrespect Him by ingratitude. Ingratitude. The tenants refuse to give the owner his share of the fruit. You know, it's expected that when they lease it, part of the fruit goes to the owner as a courtesy and as an agreement, you know, between them. And ingratitude doesn't simply mean somebody who just doesn't give thanks, but it's someone also who fails to appreciate, to protect, and to preserve the gift that's given to them. So if I fail to protect or preserve a gift that's given to me, it's as if I don't care about it. It's like if somebody comes and gives you a gift when they come to your house, and then you take this gift and you just like throw it in the backyard or you throw it outside, it's an insult because it shows that, one, you don't appreciate it, you know, and then because you treat it poorly, right? But if you appreciate it, you take care of it and you show them that I appreciate it. And the Lord expects us to be children that are thankful. Of course, I'll remind you of the passage of the 10 lepers, where the Lord Christ healed 10 lepers, and one of them only returned to give Him thanks. And the Lord said, didn't I not heal 10? Where are the other 9? So He expects us to be thankful to Him. Sometimes when we take God's grace for blessing, this is a way of our not being thankful. We just take His blessings for granted. I'll remind you, a few years ago during, you know, COVID, you know, it was like you had to fight tooth and nail just to come to church and even to come to Vespers, right? We had the highest attendance of Vespers during COVID. Why? Because it was restricted. It was restricted. Sometimes when things are taken away from us, we realize their value and we want them more. But then once everything goes back to normal, nobody comes to Vespers and the liturgy, normal, we come late as usual. It's business as usual because we take things for granted. We take His grace and His blessing, you know, for granted. Ask anyone who lives in a city far from a church how much they value the liturgy and how much they value the Vespers. It's so much. People go, you know, will drive hours just to attend the liturgy because they don't have one that's close. And when they go early. Even if they're driving, you know, 3 or 4 hours, they'll be the first ones in church. And it shows because they're thankful. They're grateful of this opportunity. How about our ingratitude sometimes of God's forgiveness, that He forgives us so easily when we repent? There came a time where St. Peter came to the Lord and asked Him, how often is it that we should forgive our brother if he sinned against me? And the Lord said, up to 70 times 7. Meaning what? That just as the Lord and God forgives us 70 times 7 times every day and every moment, He wants the same to us. And when we forgive our brethren, it shows God that we're grateful for the forgiveness that He offers to us. But when I harden my heart, I'm not able to forgive my brother. What does this tell God? That I'm ungrateful of the forgiveness that You have forgiven me. This is why in the prayers of the church, we often say what? According to Your mercy, O Lord, and not according to our sins. Because He forgives us only according to our, if He judges us only according to our sin, we will all be condemned. But if it's according to His mercy, which is great, then we will be forgiven. One of the desert fathers, Abba Piman, he says, gratitude in the heart is the sign of the soul that knows God. A soul that knows God is thankful for Him for everything. For the forgiveness that He gives, for the graces that He gives, for the mysteries that they're able to partake of. And nothing is taken for granted, but is taken with gratitude. The second way, perhaps, maybe we might disrespect God is mistreating His servants. And of course, His son, as was depicted in the passage. The tenants of the vineyard, when He sent them servants, they beat them and mistreated them. And when they sent the son, they ended up killing Him. All of these, when we mistreat God's representatives, then we disrespect God Himself, right? Because He is the one who sent them. Just as if you remember when the Lord appeared to St. Paul on the road to Damascus, what did He tell him? He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? His church is him, right? So when we mistreat and disrespect the ministers of God, we mistreat and disrespect God Himself. And yes, I'm speaking about the clergy, but not only the clergy, about the servants, or about anybody who shares with you the message of God. At the end of the day, all of us can bear His message with one another. How do I treat those who share this message with me? There's a story in the Old Testament about a beautiful woman named Abigail, whose husband was not so beautiful. His name was Nabal. And what happened was Nabal had a lot of land and sheep, and he had his shearers. It was time for them to shear the sheep. So David, as a courtesy, as he was a wanderer with his soldiers, and he was wandering and still fleeing from Saul, they came around where Nabal's herd was, and they began to protect them. His soldiers protected the shearers as they were shearing, so no one would rob them. And in return, so David goes and sends one of his servants to Nabal, and he says to him, please give us, you know, some sustenance for my men to eat, because we're here as wanderers, give us something to eat. And what was Nabal's response to the servants of David? He said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? Although he knew very well that he was the anointed king. There are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men when I do not know where they are from? Do you know what David did after that? He rolled up his sleeve and he said, Tayyib, Ta'ali, right? So he got 400 men and he was going to go and obliterate Laban and all of his household. Until his wife got, heard of this, she took all of the food and gifts and went and met David and humbled herself before her, and she, you know, calmed his anger. But we see here, when the messengers were mistreated as if it was mistreating the king, right? When we disrespect the messengers of God, we disrespect God. This is what the Lord said to the disciples. He said to them, he who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. There are many times and when we serve or many times when we go share the message of the gospel, we will be rejected. But at the end of the day, it's not our message. It's God's message, right? And just as, you know, he is, you know, he stands up and he takes, you know, and he supports his ministers, he will also defend them in the time of need as he sees fit. How is it sometimes that we disrespect God's messengers? Number one is perhaps we disrespect them by persecuting them or mocking their message. You know, sometimes if somebody comes and says, you know, oh, my Sunday school servant told me that I have to fast. And in the house, we're not fasting. مش صايمين. So what do we say to the child when he comes and tells, هتعمل علينا قديس? This is mocking the message, right? He's learning in the church how to fast, and when I come home, it's mocked. When he hears Abuna say, we should come early so we can dress as the deacon. Come by 8 o'clock, and he comes and wakes you up and said, come on, we need to go to church. And you say, oh, there's plenty of time. There's no need to rush. The church is always there. Rabbina Tayyib. And we say all of these things. So what is this saying? Again, it's mocking the message. The Lord rebuked the Pharisees for doing this very thing. He said to them, woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets and your fathers killed them. So he's saying what? That you claim to be the descendants of the prophets, but it's those very prophets whom your forefathers killed, the messengers, right? So they disrespected the messengers, and this is something they passed from generation to generation. My beloved, when we criticize the church, and we criticize the clergy, and the servants who are serving in the church, and this is what our children hear in their ear, do you think they can grow up with a positive and right attitude towards God and the church because this is what they hear in their ear? They can't, right? They'll always be deficient. They'll always look with this critical eye and say, what is wrong in the church and what is wrong in the servants and what is wrong with, at the end of the day, God's order. There was one time the chief and Pharisees, they came to the Lord and they said to him, after he cast, overturned the money changers, they came to him and says, tell us by what authority you do these things. Or who is he who gave you this authority? And the Lord answered, and he said, I will ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? So they thought among themselves, okay, if we say that it's from heaven, then he's going to say, then why didn't you believe him? And if they say, okay, it's from men, then they fear the people because they took him as a prophet. So they ended up telling the Lord, we don't know. And the Lord said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Why? Because the motive of the question was to cast doubt on the authenticity of his message and to cast doubt on his authority. Sometimes we disrespect God's messengers by casting doubt on their authenticity and the authority by which they speak. Another way perhaps we disrespect God's messengers is by disobedience. And again, we must assume, that the messengers are there from God, and the message they are delivering to us are from God. And if they are from God, then it's my obligation to submit to them in obedience. And when I don't, it's a disrespect to Him. Sometimes indifference as well. We can disrespect God's messengers by being indifferent to the message. What's indifference mean? That I don't care. I just listen. He says what he says. I do what I want. Everybody's happy, and that's it. I'm just indifferent to the message. This made me think a little bit, kind of on a side note, about just the idea of respect in general for the representatives, for the clergy, and for the servants. I've seen and observed that the disrespect, I think in general, across the country, across the landscape, maybe across the world, has decreased. The amount of disrespect we have for one another and for the elders has decreased. I want to encourage us to teach our children how to highly respect others, and especially those who are coming representing God. Because what happens when I teach them to be very reverent to them, it'd be much easier for them to be obedient. Those whom we respect highly, we obey easily. But if there's any question of respect, then the obedience is always questionable. So I'd like to encourage us to teach our children how to be, how to respect everyone, especially those messengers from God. Another way in which perhaps we disrespect God is by our pride and rebellion. The tenants, they plotted to kill the son, believing that they could inherit the father's or the owner's vineyard. Saint Moses the Strong, he says, humility is the only thing the devil cannot imitate. If we humble ourselves, we escape his snare. Humility is the only thing that Satan can't imitate. And if we humble ourselves, then we can escape his snares. There came a time when God instructed King Saul to destroy the Amalekites, everything. And as he was destroying the Amalekites, he spared the king, Agag, and he kept some of the best livestock. And then when he was confronted by Samuel the prophet, he defended himself by claiming he saved the best livestock to be a sacrifice, you know, to God. However, Samuel responds to him in the infamous way. He says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So he's saying, what? It's better to be obedient than to offer sacrifices. So at the end of the day, why? Because the disobedience is coming from pride and rebellion. I want to do things as I want to do them. Pride can lead to our selective obedience. Pride can lead to I'll listen to this, but not to this. I'll listen to this, but not to this. When I do this kind of thing, when I'm not striving to obey the full command, then I'm just obeying selectively. And this selective obedience will seed pride in our heart. And ultimately, we know the end, of course. Saul lost his kingdom because of this. We disrespect God when we place our will over His will. When we say, I want to do what I will over what you will. Lastly, the last way we can we disrespect God sometimes is by neglecting our duties. The tenants failed to fulfill their duties and give the owner of the land his portion of fruit. This was their duty to do. And in another parable, the Lord told us about the parable of the talents, how He gave some 5 talents, some 2 talents, and some 1 talent. And what did they do? The 5, you know, traded and got double, and he got 10. The one who got 2 traded and got another 2, and heard the beautiful reward for this. Well, what about the 1? It says, the one who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. So he took the talent because he was scared of the owner, and he buried it. And when it was time, he just gave him back what he left. Is this what God wanted? What was his response? He said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Because you didn't, exchange and work with the gift and talents that I gave you to gain more for his kingdom or for his profit, then he was labeled as being what? Wicked and lazy. Neglecting our duties is, again, something we will be stand before God in judgment. Neglecting to use the talents that God has given us, the resources God has given us to glorify his name, we will stand and give an account of this in the day of judgment. If you remember the parable of the fig, or the passage of the fig tree, when the Lord was going into Jerusalem, he saw the fig tree that had all the leaves, but no fruit, right? Again, when it was condemned, its duty is to bear fruit. And when it didn't bear fruit, he condemned it and it withered. We have many duties, some social and some spiritual, and many other duties. But even neglecting our social duties, can bring condemnation upon us. For example, giving to the poor or giving of alms. Again, this is our duty. If we have, we ought to give and share. The money that we have is a talent. It's a gift. No one takes anything with them when they go on. Everything is left to the next generation. How I teach my children how to be maybe generous and how to be giving, right? Is again, it's a duty. I can leave them a lot of money, but I didn't tell them what to do with it or how to handle it. This will be for their condemnation. using the talents that God gave us to serve our brethren and give praise to God. These are our social duties. How about neglecting our spiritual duties? Our spiritual duties to pray, to understand His Word, to fast. All of these are our spiritual duties. Look what St. Isaac the Syrian says about neglecting fasting. He says, "The fast is a weapon against the demons, and neglecting the fast is surrendering your defenses in the battle against the evil one." So if I neglect to fast, it's as if I'm a soldier going to war, neglecting to take my armor or my weapons. Would this not be a foolish way to conduct a battle? Surely we know the end, right? So if I neglect fasting, I'm neglecting my defenses against the enemy. So neglecting our duties can have detrimental effects on our life and our salvation. The tenants were expecting my beloved to bear fruit, as the Lord had asked them. Their disrespect and disregard for the owner resulted in their condemnation. And we spoke this morning about how perhaps it is it that we disrespect God. We spoke about our ingratitude, maybe not being thankful and not appreciating and taking for granted what God has given us as a way of disrespect. We spoke about rejecting the messengers of God as a way of disrespecting God. We spoke about our pride and rebellion as a way of disrespecting God, and our neglect of our duties as disrespecting God. There are two sequences, though, in this parable that are puzzling and a bit strange. But this is very revealing. The first is, if you think about when the owner sent the three servants, and each time they were treated poorly or worse, then what does he say to himself? He says what? That I will send my beloved son, one son, the only son he has. I will send him, perhaps they will respect him. And I think if any of us were in a similar situation, what would we say? If they didn't respect 1, 2, and 3, what makes me think they're going to respect 4? And would we subject our son or our daughter to somebody who abused a servant? No. It doesn't make any sense. The only way it makes sense is when we understand the parable, that the owner is the Father and the beloved Son is His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would, through His willing sacrifice to the world, save the world. So it's that very point of sending His beloved Son to a hostile people, knowing they will kill Him. Why? Because this way is the only way He can win them as well. This is the only way He can win the vine dressers as well. He can offer them salvation as well by giving them His Son. The other strange thing, or peculiar thing, is that the tenants thought that they could inherit what is the owner's by killing the heir. The heir is not transferred by whoever, you know, is more powerful. The heir is transferred by inheritance. So if somebody kills me, they don't take my father's inheritance. It goes to the next of kin. It doesn't go to the person who murdered me, right? Right. So this is what they thought. Again, this teaches us that what is the father's or what is the owner's cannot be taken by force. It cannot be earned by merit, but it must be an inheritance that we receive by being God's children. As His Eminence was speaking yesterday, when we are in Christ, then we receive Christ's reward. We receive Christ's kingdom. But we must be in Him. And it's not something that can be taken by force. Let us strive, my beloved, to be faithful stewards in His vineyard, bearing fruit for His kingdom, and respecting the one, and respecting those who are sent by Him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.